Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Wednesday, the 22nd day of the month of Teves. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Mark Fishman of Congregation Beth Tikva in Quebec, Canada, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Fishman slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, their chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed, as always, by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Fishman to learn more about his wonderful community in Montreal. I believe we had Rabbi Fishman on the program back in late June, which I think was the week prior to us beginning the interview process, which we have now been doing for the last few months. So certainly looking forward to that conversation. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Fishman.
Thank you so much for inviting me once again to be able to speak with this wonderful group. And I'm just moving to a different location in my house because you might hear the three-year-old who is so keen to say Tehillim together with Klal Yisrael. Okay. We are here. I'd like to share with you a incredible statement from the Gemara and to see how two different individuals understood it. And what is at the heart of this conversation is a question that so many of us have been facing over this very challenging, difficult time of COVID, which is, to what degree does a person need to go above and beyond in their daily spiritual lives? How far does a person need to go in order to do things in the optimum fashion, versus to what degree can we simply say, this is as far as I can go, this is all I have in me, and right now this is going to have to be enough. If you take a look at the Gemara, Psachim, the Me'bav Amud Aleph, we have a fascinating statement. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Abahu said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Lagabao, person who is kneading dough for others, but who needs to immerse their utensils in a mikveh first before doing so. V'latefillah, and with regard to somebody who wishes to pray in a minyan, yet doesn't have a minyan nearby. L'netilat yadayim, and for the ritual washing of the hands, where there is no water for a person to do so, where he is currently located. Arba'a milin. A person is required to walk 4 miles. And that is the passage of the Gemara. This is a fascinating one-liner, which oftentimes can get overlooked or simply ignored. What this means is that if somebody is within a location where they can immerse their utensils in a mikveh, or where they can pray with a minyan, or where they can wash their hands for Netilat Yadayim, then they must make that journey to do so. And significantly, Halachis and Poskim, such as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, understood the statement of Rabbi Abahu in exactly this way. And he rules that it is obligatory for somebody to travel in order to daven with the minyan up to 4 miles away. Now, of course, the Gemara is not speaking about the times of when a global pandemic would be ravaging the world, and especially not when it would be unsafe to do so, especially not when government authorities and regulations are enforcing social distancing, even quarantine. But in ordinary times, the statement of the Talmud led halachic to believe, in the very simple reading, that when you are within 4 miles, put on your walking shoes. If that's how far away the minyan is, you need to pray with a minyan. However, there was a different approach. And this alternative approach was shared with me by my friend, Rabbi Johnny Solomon. And it was in the name of Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who is actually the leading halachic decisor, the Posek Kador, in America before Rabbi Feinstein's arrival. He was born in 1881, passed away in 1973. And Rav Henkin was known as the Posek of America. He read this passage in the Talmud very differently. He says that there is a duty for communities, wherever possible, to have minyanim operating 3 times a day. However, that does not mean that every Jew is duty-bound to attend tefillah with a minyan. Instead, he explains by showcasing other gemarot, particularly brachot, zayin amud bet, that if a person is located where a minyan has gathered to pray, then he should join them. However, if they're not in the presence of a minyan, they're not duty-bound to go and travel towards one. You'll ask, how does Rabbi Henkin understand the passage in our Gemara that we started with? And he suggests that perhaps the Gemara in Pesachim 46a, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, is actually a Hidur Mitzvah. It is a going above and beyond the basic halachic requirements. Or perhaps he suggests it might be referring to a case of where a person who doesn't know how to pray, and in such a case, he must attend a shul in order to listen to the chazan pray out loud and then answer amen, thus fulfilling his responsibilities. This, on the surface, is a machloket haposkin, 2 different ways of viewing the same Talmudic sugya. Rabbi Feinstein says a person must travel to a minyan up to 4 miles. Rabbi Henkin says, no, person can if they wishes to, but is not duty bound. One of the meanings that I take out of this incredible dispute, 2 very different ways of looking at exactly the same source, is that a person could, if they are able to, do and give their all. Yet there are other times where simply we are just not capable. We may feel that I just don't have it within me to go the extra mile, if you excuse the pun. And it's at this point that we have both Rabbi Feinstein and Rabbi Henkin in dispute with one another on whom a person can rely depending on their personal circumstances. I am reminded of a classic phrase my childhood rabbi used to tell me. He says that a person is expected, required to do all that they can. And he gave the analogy of jumping from a higher vantage point down below. He said a person can jump off of a roof to the floor below them. However, with all of the will in the world, a person cannot jump from the floor up onto the roof. There are times where in our lives we simply feel we can't go any further. And that, teaches us Rabbi Abahu, is absolutely fine. In those times and in those moments, lets us do all that we can, all that is within our capabilities, everything that we have within our capacities. And let us always remember that the most important aspect of our prayers are kavana. Kol ha-marbe v'kol ha-memiyot, rak she-taven libam la'avinu shebashamayim. For those who say much and for those who say little, the important overriding factor is that we direct our hearts to our Father in heaven. May he indeed have mercy upon all of Klal Yisrael and the world entire. Amen. I will now turn to the recitation of the Tehillim, starting first with chapter Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor LaDavid, Adonai Roi Lo Echsa, Inodeshe Yarbitseini, Almei Menuchot Yanchaleini, Nafshi Yoshovev Yancheini, B'Ma'aglei Sedek L'Ma'an Shemo, Gam Ki Eilech V'Gei Salmavet, Lo irara ki ata imadi. Shiftecha umishantecha, heima yenachamuni. Tarach lafaynai shulchan, neged sararai. Ishanta bashemen roshi, kosi revaya. We now turn to Perek Kufchaf Aleph, Chapter 121. Shir l'ma'alot Esa enai el heharim Ma'ayin yavo Ezri Ezri mi'im Adonai Oseh shamayim Va'aret Al yitain lamut raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai silcha, al yad yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka, ve'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmocha mikora, yishmo et nafshecha. Adonai yishmo seito vo'echa, me'ata v'yad olam. We now continue with Perek Kuf Lamed, Chapter 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mimamakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shem'a b'koli tiena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im abonot tishmoya Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kibata nafshi, v'lidvoro ochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai m'shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yechel Yisrael el Adonai, Ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'hedha emo fedut. V'hu yifte et Yisrael mikol avonotav. I will now read out the Misha Beirach L'cholim, prayer for healing for those who are in need of better health. I will pause and in that appropriate place, those of you who are listening to this call can add and insert the names on behalf of those for whom you are praying for. We continue now with the Misha Beirach for Cholim. Excuse me one moment. Here we go. Mi Shabarach, Abotenu, Abraham Yitzhak, V'Yakov, Moshe, Baron, David, Shlomo, Sarifka, Rachel, Balea, Hu Yivarech, Birapet, Ed HaCholim. May you now insert personal names on behalf of whom you are praying for. Ba'avur shekol ha'kol mitpalalim ba'avuram. V'schaze ha'kodesh baruch hu, yom alei rachamim aleichem. Ha'ach limam ruach otam, ruach hazikam, ruach hayotam. V'yishlach lehem mehera refua shalema min ha'shamayim. V'toch sha'achol Yisrael, refuat ha'nefesh, refuat ha'guf. Hashta ba'agala bizman kariv. V'nama, amen. May the Holy One, blessed be He, be filled with compassion, all of those who are sick, restoring them to full health, curing them, strengthening them, and reviving them, sending them a swift and full recovery from heaven, quickly, swiftly, and speedily. And let us say, amen. We close now with the Achinu, praying for our brothers and sisters, whether they be in Israel or indeed all throughout the diaspora, hoping that they come from darkness to light and ultimately to receive the Yeshua that they so very much need. Achinu kol Beit Yisrael, Hanatunim b'sar v'shivya, ha'omdim b'ein b'yam u'b'ein b'yabasha, ha'makom yenachem aleichem, yotzim tzara levarcha, me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala bizman kariv, v'noma amen. May God lead all those from distress to relief, darkness to light, and oppression to freedom, now, swiftly, and soon. And let us say amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Fishman. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, I am well. My family is healthy, and we are all doing okay. The community also, Baruch Hashem, we are going the distance. We speak at a very auspicious day because in just 4 hours from now, government announcements will be made in Quebec, Canada, giving a complete and total lockdown to the entire province. This will include, it is being rumored, a curfew in the evenings as well, where literally the city and province will come to a complete standstill, no schooling, no shops, and nobody allowed even outside in the evenings. Food and hospitals will still be running, purchases of food and the visitation of hospitals. But these are tough times that we are going through, and yet, Gamze Ya'avo, this too shall pass, and we will overcome.
Absolutely, and certainly I love our thoughts collectively are with you and the entire community. And just a thought to go back from when you began just a few minutes earlier, we all would have been fine with the your three-year-old child being in the background. We would have loved to hear their reciting of the Tehillim together with us. So next time we have you on, that would have been totally fine.
Thank you. God bless you. I will make sure she is in the picture next time.
Fantastic. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to give us a brief overview, give us some background of the shul and the community in general?
Absolutely. I am based in Montreal, Quebec. We are on the west of the city of Montreal in a community called Dola des Amos. The synagogue, and indeed the entire Jewish community, was established and built 56 years ago, and it was built by a rabbi known as Rabbi Mordechai Zeitz, who at the time was a young musmach from YU, who had come out to, I can't even say a fledgling community, there was nothing. If you are familiar with that period in the 60s of where YU was trying to build an empire of communities and Jewish synagogues, day schools all throughout North America, ours is a classic example of such an opportunity. Rabbi Zeitz came with the promise of a parcel of land and not much more. That land was earmarked by a builder who wanted to build a Jewish community. He asked YU if somebody would be willing to come out and start from the ground up. And 56 years later, Baruch Hashem, we have a thriving community, day school, mikvah, erev, and we are truly blessed with a very fortunate and special kehillah. It's called Beth Tikva. Its full name is Beth Tikva Ahavat Shalom Nusa Ha'ari, but that simply means that we have merged with other synagogues over the years as we continue to be one of the leading and shining lights of modern Orthodox communities here in Montreal.
Amazing. Rabbi Tishman, you're a very eloquent, very articulate speaker. I'm very curious, what motivated and drove you to go into the rabbinate? More specifically, to become a pulpit rabbi, not necessarily the easiest of jobs, a role for one to be in, one that you handle very, very well. We're curious, what propelled you to go into the rabbinate?
That's a great question. I think I fell into the position more so than having a lightning bolt moment of I wish to become a rabbi. Over an extended period of many years of formal study in yeshivot in Eretz Yisrael, there emerged this inner drive from within to serve Klal Yisrael. And as this stirring grew, I realized that in a pulpit position, that was a capacity that I would be able to just engage with others and create meaningful relationships. I didn't have the head to be a posek. I had no illusions of grandeur, that a world-class Talmud Chacham was not my calling. But after taking smicha and through the smicha of the Israeli rabbinate, I realized that I love people. I love Jews. Can I harness my talents with what is needing to be done? And perhaps that's where God wishes for me to be.
Well, I imagine your community and certainly all of us on this call are the recipients of that decision, and we're certainly grateful for it. Last question for today, that despite what might be happening in Quebec in 4 hours from now, that there does seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel with the rollout of the vaccines now here in America, across the world. And we're able to think a little bit down the road of perhaps what life may look like in a post-COVID-19 world. Rabbi Tishman, thinking about your community, Montreal, and perhaps even the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we go forward?
That's a very astute and articulate question. Let me begin by sharing with you a memory that has just popped into my mind as you were formulating the question, and that was the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, telling him to go and purchase a plot of land in the land of Israel. You will recall that that nevuah, that prophecy, took place in the midst of the destruction and ultimately the exile from the land of Israel by the Babylonians. There is a theme that runs throughout all of Jewish history, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi said it best, Yesh tikva ba'achrutech. There is hope at the very end of all of this story. Even though Jeremiah was to be exiled from the land, God said, you will return, and if not you, your children, and if not your children, their children and their descendants. And now is the time to look towards the future. Now is the time to build that Jewish future in the land of Israel. I imagine that when we move past this terrible global pandemic, we will be able to once again rebuild the Jewish future. And the Jewish future is built upon the Jewish past. We will strengthen our core, Torah, Avodah, the Gimelot Chasadim, and we will sharpen all of those aspects that will go into building that core, the learning of Torah, the coming together as communities for tefillah, but really coming together in a way that we can pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and act in the best ways of what a kehillah is all about, leading to ma'asim tovim, acts of loving kindness. This is what the Jewish future will look like. Yesh tikra, yesh tikva ba'achritech. There is hope at the end of all of this story.
Bezrat Hashem, we certainly hope very, very soon. Rabbi Fishman, thank you so much for being on the call today with us and providing all of us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Thursday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Yaniv Meirov of the Charm Circle Synagogue in Kew Gardens, New York. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.